All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Corelight's Spiritual Weather Report for January of 2020. It's our first recording, our first call of the new decade. And, I always look forward to these calls. So exciting to be with you in this time. It's just an extraordinary time. I can't wait till the end of the call when we open up to questions and sharing, because I'd love to hear what you're going through. I can only tell you that for me, this past week or so has been one of the most challenging in recent memory. There's been such intensity, such huge shadow passing through. Very, very intense times. And I've talked to quite a few people who have had similar experiences the past week or so. But on the other hand, it's also been such an extraordinary time. If we know how to work with energy, it's a great opportunity to be able to use it to ascend in consciousness. So it's like the highs are really high and the lows are really low. So very extreme and very much a time of intensity. I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. I don't want to get too much into the topic of the day. There are a couple of things I wanted to share with you first. Number one, I just wanted to say thank you, because we just completed our big, Corelight's got a big end of year fundraiser that we do, because we are a nonprofit, and in order to keep going, we rely on donations. And we had a very, very successful November, December, end of year donation campaign, and all the money that you donated was doubled by our dear friend and benefactor, Joan Porter, who offered to match everybody's donations in November and December. So I just want to thank you. I know most people who call in on these calls are, you know, the core of Corelight, the core supporters. So I thank you. You know, it's really important. We like to offer these monthly calls as our gift and not charge anything. And it's very, very helpful when you donate. So just want to say a big thank you from me and Leslie and everybody on the Corelight team. And I also wanted to say, before we get started, we're going to depart today from our normal format, because we have two very special guest speakers today. Both are longtime Corelighters, and I'm going to be introducing them soon after we have our guided meditation. The guided meditation is going to be briefer than normal. We usually do a nice long guided meditation, but our first guest speaker is only available for an hour. So we want to take full advantage of her time, and we'll use the first hour to make sure that we have our discussion with Stephanie Austin. And many of you know Stephanie. She's been our guest speaker before. She's a world-class astrologer and has real strong, a very accurate insight into the collective consciousness and what's happening with her fingers on the pulse. And it's always a very exciting discussion when we're together. And I got such a strong intuition just a couple of days ago that I needed to invite her because of the intensity of the astrology. I'm not sure how many of you follow astrology, but whether you believe in it or not, but I can tell you that it's extraordinary. Stephanie will talk to us more about it, but the little bit that I know about astrology is it's very much in keeping with what I've been experiencing and what Leslie's been experiencing and many people I know have been experiencing. And it just feels like this is a critical thing for us all now to know what this is about, what's happening in the collective consciousness, so that we can be prepared for the year ahead and maybe even the decade ahead. It's a pivotal moment right now, I guess, is what I'm feeling. It's as though this year is a pivotal year, and especially this month is a pivotal month. And I know that the astrology of this month will speak to that. So looking forward to having Stephanie join us shortly after our guided meditation. Our second speaker is Kathy Stanley, who many of you know also. She's a longtime core lighter and a minister, a core light minister and mentor. She's a teacher of eco-psychology, and I'm so excited about what she's offering because it's about earth-based healing. And it just feels like such an important part of our journey right now that we all need to know about this. And so I'm excited to have Kathy as a guest speaker today with us as well. And so in the second part of the call, Kathy will join us. Also, we usually share the news about upcoming events at the beginning of the call, but we'll do it later on in the call. So if you want to know about what's happening with CoreLight and the events coming up, we'll share that later, just so we can maximize our time with Stephanie. And we're going to dive into the meditation now, the guided meditation. And I just want you to know I'm sitting here in my living room in South Africa with our beloved Leslie. She's sitting next to me here. And with our friend who just arrived from the United States. Most of you know her as Linda Holland, but she now goes by her maiden name. And she changed her first name to Tara. So it's Tara Linda Pittenger now. So the three of us are here in our living room. And Leslie is preparing to give us the gift of a Shakti transmission. And if you're new to Core Light and don't know what that is, I'll just tell you. I know this is a reminder for all of you who've been with us for a while. Leslie's been offering the gift of a Shakti transmission for over 30 years since she had her spiritual awakening experience in 1988. And Leslie, in the last few years, has chosen to go into silence and to really focus on her transmission rather than talking. So that's why I'm the one doing all the talking nowadays. And we invite you to be meditative throughout the call today, whether or not we're speaking or meditating. But when you can be receptive and be in a yin state, it's easy to receive this beautiful, uplifting, energetic transmission called Shakti that Leslie is offering. And whether you're with us live or listening to the recording later, it doesn't matter because time and space don't really exist except in the third dimension. And when we're all part of this field, we're in the higher dimensions and we are all connected at those other levels. So we invite you now to take a few long, deep breaths and relax. Just go deep, deep into meditation and letting go. And while you breathe, we invite you to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the heart and in love and in the unified field. And we'll all be receiving this transmission of light throughout the call, but especially now in meditation. So continue your long, slow, deep, relaxing breathing. Breathe in all the light and the life force that surrounds you. And breathe out any tension, any stress that you might be feeling. Breathe in the present moment. And breathe out any worries or concerns about the past or the future. Just let it all go and give yourself the gift of the present moment. I know sometimes we have to multitask on these calls, and if you have to do that, I invite you to take at least 5 minutes right now to just stop what you're doing, stop thinking. Let all your thoughts go and just be with us right now, breathing in the light, breathing out anything else that blocks your ability to be present. Just put it aside for right now. continue the breathing. As we breathe, it activates the vagus nerve, which runs the length of the body from the head down to the base of the spine, and it's activated by deep breathing, and it specifically to relax the body. That's its purpose, one of its main purposes. So the deep, slow, long breathing physiologically activates the relaxation. And sometimes we forget how important the relaxation is in our busy world. We're much more focused on our to-do lists, right? And getting everything done and understanding and knowing and filling our minds up with information. And the truth of it is that the enlightenment of our consciousness is based on relaxation. That's the foundation of it. And we forget that. So I invite you right now to just give yourself this gift of deep letting go, deep relaxation with your breathing. It might be the most important thing that we all do today. Just relax for a few minutes and let go and receive. Just allow the light to pour in. Feel yourself relaxing from head to toes. Let's do a scan of the body from scalp to toes. Visualize a warm, viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head, relaxing every muscle that it touches. Feel it pouring over your scalp and your face, your ears, your jaw. Letting go of all the tension we hold. There's so much tension held in the face, around the eyes, especially in the jaw, the neck and the shoulders. Just letting go, deeply letting go. Your arms from shoulders to fingertips. Your torso, front and back, all the way down to the abdomen and the pelvis, feeling that warm liquid pouring over you and relaxing all your muscles. The legs, the knees, the lower legs, ankles, feet, and toes. Just feel this wave of warmth and relaxation pouring over you. And I'll be quiet now for a moment. Just scan your body again from head to toes. Deeply letting go of any stress or tension that you're feeling. And now I invite you to put your attention in the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, between the anus and the genitals. Just put your attention there. And feel how when you put your attention there, your root chakra automatically opens. And then drop your attention from the root chakra all the way down into the earth. Drop your grounding cord all the way down into the center of the earth. Connect your grounding cord with the core of the earth. And feel our Mother Earth supporting us from beneath. Feel gravity pulling you down into her arms and relax like a little baby in the arms of the mother. Just let go. Feel how safe and grounded and anchored you feel as you let go, allowing gravity to work on you and feeling her supporting you from beneath with the floor or the chair. And then bring that earth energy up through the soles of your feet and into your body. Beautiful grounding energy of Mother Earth, all the way up your legs, back up to the root. And bring that beautiful grounding earth energy all the way up the core of your body, up to the top of your head, to the crown chakra. And open your crown. Feel it on the top of your head like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. Just feel it there. And it's okay if you're not feeling these things. If you're new to this, just set your intention that you would like to feel them, and one day you will. And for right now, you just use your vivid imagination to see it there and try to feel it. So feel the crown chakra on the top of your head. It sits there like a crown. They call it the thousand-petaled lotus. And feel the petals opening one by one, unfurling on the top of your head, opening up and out. It's a beautiful, blissful feeling if you can tap into it. It's very relaxing. It's very healing. The crown chakra is our connection with the cosmos, with the divine celestial realms, Father Sky. So as this crown chakra unfurls on the top of your head, feel a golden white light raining down from above, filling you up with golden white light. Warm, it's healing, it's effervescent. Feel every cell of your body absorbing it, filling up your aura and your physical body. Trillions of little cells like sponges soaking up this light. It's beautiful golden white light pouring down from above. So as you relax and receive this beautiful transmission, as you fill up, I'm just going to say a little prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit, the Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite you all into this call. We ask that you please surround us in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light. Fill us up with healing energy. Uplift us in every way, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Please guide our conversation into the highest love and wisdom, so that we all may fulfill our soul's highest purpose on earth. And we offer our deep gratitude, knowing that this is so. We also offer our deep, deep gratitude for the opportunity to be here together today and to share our love at this amazing time on planet Earth, in this virtual reality, in these virtual bodies that we wear for a few short years. We're deeply grateful for the experience and the beauty and the wonder on this beautiful, fragile blue planet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Aho. And now I invite you to bring your attention back into the room and into your body slowly. If you'd like to slowly wiggle your fingers and toes and open your eyes, you can. Otherwise, just stay in meditation. But whatever you do, whether you're meditating or multitasking, I invite you to continue to receive this energy. There'll be a lot of talking today and a lot of information sharing, but maybe the most important thing that we do today will be the energy transmission. So I just invite you to receive that. Feel that coming in. So, before we get started, Barbara, is there anything that you'd like to say?
I'd like to say thank you, Brad. That was absolutely wonderful. And we have several people who have commented that the connection is a little bit staticky. And is there anything that we can do about it? I didn't interrupt you because we can actually hear you clearly. You are not breaking up at all. But there is definitely some static on the line. So I just wanted to let people know that we are aware of that. And hopefully you're all hearing Brad, you know, as clearly as I am, even though there's some static happening.
Well, Barbara, one thing we did today that's different than most months, most calls, is that we had another computer running in the room so that Tara Linda and Leslie could actually listen in, because I'm on my headset and they cannot hear us. They can only hear my voice in the room. So have you disconnected? Okay, so what you want to do is turn your computer off as well, because what it does is it cuts the bandwidth in half. So we tried an experiment, and I'm afraid it didn't work. But it should the quality of the call should return to normal as soon as we shut the other computer off. I hope that works. But do let us know if the staticky quality continues. Let me know. All right.
Okay.
Please.
Will do.
People, people can write in if you're on the web call. You know, the broadcast. Just write in and let us know if the quality is not good, and we'll try something else.
Okay. All right. Well, I can see that Tara and Leslie are no longer connected on the web call. And so you're still a little bit staticky, but other than it being a little bit annoying, we can hear you.
Well, the good news is that we have two guest speakers today. So.
Yes, but
so
now, actually, you're more staticky than you were.
More staticky now?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what to say about it. We're going to have to suffer through this time, because I don't have any other. Barbara, I can close out on one thing, but what it's going to mean is that I won't be able to see the back end. So you'll have to be telling me.
I can do that, Brad, and we can try
right.
it and see if that will help. And as you were just saying, we've got some guest speakers today, so hopefully everybody's hearing me clearly. And we'll also hear the guest speakers clearly. They're both in the United States. So hopefully, you know, for the rest of us, the reception will be okay. And you can let us know either by *2 if I'm not clear, or you can write in on the web if you're not hearing me clearly as well.
Okay, so I'm just aware of the time, and let's just dive in. Before we open the mic to Stephanie, I just want to say a couple of quick things, and that is that I'm aware that it's really there's so much happening in the world right now, and it's not easy to process everything that's happening. You know, just have to scan the headlines briefly to see the kinds of things that are happening, the acts of war that are creating destabilization in the Middle East and globally, these incredible fires in Australia, so many other things on the earth. I'm not going to go through the list. And our beloved Ram Dass passed away a few weeks ago. And so there's just, you know, many things that could cause us to feel destabilized and overwhelmed. And I just want to say it's important not to go into the overwhelm, but to hold a witness and to stay in our hearts as much as we possibly can, to be in love as much as possible, and to be the embodiment of the peace that we want to see on the planet. So my experience, just real briefly, of the last little while has been, I mean, when I started feeling this shadow passing through me, I was so confused. I had been feeling so good, and I didn't know what it was, but it felt like a disturbance in the force is the way that I was describing it, because it was sort of this unknown energetic earthquake that was so intense, and it caused all kinds of strange things. And I noticed that many people I was talking to were experiencing short tempers, miscommunication, reactivity, intensity of various kinds, like being protective, short fuses kind of thing. And then also, like I said before, the other thing is that the lows were very low and the highs were very high. We've been experiencing enormous joy here. Leslie and I are just experiencing so much joy. We're laughing every day. We laugh and laugh and laugh, and the meditations are profound. And so So anyway, I could go on, but that's the gist of my experience. There's much more we can get into as the call goes on. But at this point, I would like to, Barbara, if you could open Stephanie's mic. And I would just like to thank Stephanie, first of all, for joining us on short notice. And I know you said this is the busiest time of your whole year. And I'm not surprised, because I'm sure you're in demand with amazing astrology, and I'm looking forward to your explanation of it. But for those of you who don't know Stephanie, she is an astrological counselor and teacher. She's been at this for decades. She's been a writer for 35 years. She's been a healer for that much time. She's the author of books. And she's a very respected astrologer worldwide. So we're very, very grateful to have Stephanie as part of the Core Light community. And we welcome you on the call, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure and honor. Okay, so much to say. 2020 brings an alignment that only occurs once every 735 years. That's one thing that's happening this year, and that's pretty much the highlight of this year. And I'll break that down piece by piece, and hopefully I'll speak mostly English here. What we're seeing this year, and actually right now as we speak, well, a big part of that longer cycle is occurring. Okay, if you were to look at a chart of this moment, you would see the South Node in Capricorn, Jupiter in Capricorn, the Sun in Capricorn, Ceres in Capricorn, Pluto in Capricorn, Saturn in Capricorn, and Mercury in Capricorn. That is an extraordinary convergence in one sign in the zodiac. So what that means is there's a number of cosmic spotlights in that archetypal realm. Capricorn is the third earth sign, so it has a collective focus. And of course, we all know about climate change and how we need to change our relationship to the earth. So that's one of its meanings. As we talk about these individual planets, that gives more layers of information. What's happening today, and actually almost at the exact moment of the call beginning, was Saturn conjunct Pluto. Pluto is the archetype of the shadow, about power, the power of the unconscious, the power of truth, you know, the difference between power over and power with. Saturn is the planet that goes with Capricorn, so it has many of the same themes. It is essentially how we relate to physical reality, the third dimension, time and space, how we have boundaries, how we need to prioritize, how the physical realm is finite. The spiritual realm, of course, is not, but the physical realm is. So how we work with matter, how we relate to the limits of time and space is Saturn's domain. These two planets come together approximately every 32 to 38 years, not such a big deal by itself. But Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto only come together in Capricorn every 735 years. So that's a much longer cycle, a much more profound ending and beginning of an era. The last reference point we can go back to that's much earlier is something similar. Approximately 30 years ago, Saturn was again in Capricorn. That's its cycle, 29, 30 years. But also Uranus and Neptune were in Capricorn. And that period of, in the late 80s, early 90s was another time of major changes, the fall of the Soviet Union, the Berlin Wall coming down, many other things shifting. So we're experiencing another wave of that energy, and we can reference back to that, you know, about 30 years ago to get some sense of what this is going to be bringing. It's a different combination in that it involves Saturn, but it also this time involves Pluto and Jupiter. And Pluto, still being a profound archetype, he's been demoted as a planet, but he has not lost any power as an archetype in collective consciousness. So that would explain or coincide with the intensity that we're feeling, the shadow that's coming up, the issues around the misuse of power. So in our terms, with the way we work with our processing, this would be about the end of the victim, tyrant, rebel, martyr program. You know, the end of abdicating our power, the end of, you know, or processing our shame, issues, but essentially really owning our power in a positive way from our core, from our heart. Okay. It's also a lot about the rebalancing of the masculine and feminine. We just had an eclipse on Friday that was in Cancer Capricorn, which represents the divine masculine and feminine also. So again, coming to balance those aspects of ourselves. And in the largest sense, this cycle, this 735-year cycle, is a huge shift in how we relate to time and space, how we relate to money, and the process of globalization. Okay, I'll give you a little more background on that, but that would be helpful. Jupiter is the planet that corresponds with how we make meaning, our perspective or our understanding of reality, how we expand our consciousness to see the bigger picture. Okay, Saturn rules, like I said, time and space, our connection with physical reality. And Pluto corresponds with making the unconscious conscious, which is all about what we do with Coralite practices and our Lessie's teachings. The last time these three came together was in the late 13th century, 1284, 85 to be exact. They didn't exactly come together, and this year they won't precisely be at the same degree, but close enough certainly to be giving this kind of effect as the close of an era and the initiation to the next level. Okay, I did some research. It was fascinating to go back to that time and to see how that was actually the beginning of our modern monetary system. Philip the Fourth of France was crowned. He began his persecution of the Knights Templars, who held a lot of wealth at that time. And so he made false accusations against them because he owed them a lot of money, didn't want to pay it, and began seizing their assets. And that was also more the beginning of money replacing barterdom. And so one of the things that we're seeing in this time is a lot of alternative currencies coming in, you know, needing to change our relationship to how we do business. Certainly that's very important. And our whole deification of money needs to change. So that's one of the things that this triple conjunction is offering us, the opportunity to spiral to the next level. When we're talking about long cycles like 735 years, of course, nothing happens overnight. So this has been coming in for a number of years. We'll take a number of years after 2020 to totally be established. So it's more like a wave. If you can imagine watching waves come to the shore, the wave starts to build, it peaks, and then it froths for a while. So we're right now at the crest of this wave. It's been building for some time. It's going to froth for a little bit afterwards as well. Okay. The other interesting thing that happened in the late 13th century was it was the beginning of mechanized time. The first church clocks were beginning to be installed in Europe. And it's hard for us as in our modern society to imagine not having watches and clocks, right? How would we function? It'd be a very different world to not have mechanized time. So this spiraling to the next level of this 735-year cycle, to me, also suggests a shift in our perception of time and space in that way, going more and more into present time, being aware of other timelines, but withdrawing our deification of and our slavery to mechanized time, to linear time, and to have a much more expanded sense of how things unfold. And the other thing that was very interesting about the 13th century was this was when Marco Polo was making his journey on the Silk Road to China and bringing back what were radical inventions for Europeans at the time. You know, not only, of course, silks and spices, but gunpowder, paper, explosives, other kinds of things that we take for granted now, coal, eyeglasses, porcelain, you know, a number of things that were totally unknown in the Western world and beginning to link the East and West. Okay, and very interesting, China is now, or has, in the last few years, has initiated a multi-billion dollar project to recreate Marco Polo's route, to have what they call a One Belt, One Road trade route that would be building, that is in building infrastructures between China and all the way through the Middle East to Europe, over land and over sea, to increase trade between the two. Some say this is a thinly veiled push for Chinese dominance, but if you think about it, the cross-cultural infusion and relationships that will be strengthened as a result of that, and the countries that are along that route, the increased exposure to both East and West for good and bad, you know, influences. So a shift in globalization, you know, would be indicated by this spiral going back to the 13th century. Another part of the intensification, another good astrological excuse, would be Eris. This is a relatively new addition to astrology, discovered in, I think, 2005, orbiting far beyond Pluto, and was actually the celestial body that galvanized the reclassification of Pluto and a number of objects. As we began discovering many more bodies beyond Pluto, astronomers felt the need to change what the definition of what was a planet, otherwise we'd have thousands of planets. And so Eris was the one who upset the apple cart, so to speak. And in a mythology, she is the goddess of discord and strife. Not only that, but she represents a feminine warrior energy who challenges inequality, unfairness, and exclusion. So she is in Aries, the sign that corresponds to that initiatory energy, and is exactly square Pluto for a number of years, because she moves slowly, Pluto moves slowly, they stay in alignment for a long time. And so that's an added impetus for the feminine to own its power, for us to rebalance our masculine and feminine inwardly, and very much expanding the focus on bringing up the shadow, bringing light to the shadow, and transforming the paradigm that's entrenched in. This year, four of the five outer planets are in Earth signs, so we not only have Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto in Capricorn, the third Earth sign, but Uranus went into Taurus several years ago. It has a little shorter cycle, but will be in Taurus for approximately 7 years. And that, too, is symbolic of changing our relationship to the Earth, to how we deal with our physical bodies, how we deal with our resources, and how we deal with the Earth itself. Right? So that adds even more emphasis to the importance and imperative to make radical changes in our relationship to matter. Okay, that's it in a nutshell. There's much, much more I could say about that and other astrological excuses that align with that. But that would be the gist of what I see as corresponding with these world shifts in our own internal process. The need to claim our sovereignty, to reclaim our power, the need to have a healthy sense of responsibility, to neither be overly responsible nor abdicating our power, to recognizing and honoring the limits of the physical plane, to be very focused, prioritizing our time, dedicating ourselves to what is most important, to be in full integrity, and to simplify as much as possible, again, going down to what really matters, you know, and how we relate to matter. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Wow, Stephanie, thank you so much. It really confirms so much of what I've been feeling and thinking about this time that we're in. And I guess I would ask you, can I ask you a few questions?
Absolutely.
it feels like what you're saying is that this massive cycle that seems to be ending and a new one beginning. Would you say that this year, 2020, looks like a pivotal year for us in the in terms of the ending of the patriarchal cycle and the beginning of whatever, you know, the new paradigm of the heart is to look like?
I would, yes, absolutely. I think it's a very pivotal year. And it's interesting how the year begins close to a lunar eclipse and this very important Saturn-Pluto conjunction, and it ends also in December. There is another lunar eclipse in a slightly different polarity, Gemini-Sagittarius, but there's an exact Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in the next sign of Aquarius on the December solstice. Solstices and equinoxes are always powerful times, but they're especially so right now because we are still relatively, they still relatively closely align with the galactic center. We all remember 2012, how important that was in terms of a turning point. There is a 38-year period around that time where the winter solstice aligns with the galactic center. We're talking about, you know, large distances of space and time. And so that doesn't just happen in one year. That's a process also. So we're still in that gateway of 2012. It's you know, continuing to unfold, although it, its midpoint was back in 2012. And so this winter solstice and all the solstices and equinoxes are especially amplified by other alignments. So this Jupiter-Saturn cycle, which is only every 20 years, but again, because it coincides with these other cycles. So Jupiter-Saturn is every 20 years. Jupiter-Pluto is every 13 years. Saturn-Pluto is every approximately 35 years, but the three of them together in one year is only every 735 years. So yes, absolutely, this symbolizes a pivotal year, and it ends with a shift with this Jupiter, Saturn, and Aquarius. Of course, the age of Aquarius is symbolized by that sign, the age of equality, unity and diversity, as Leslie put it many years ago, collaboration rather than competition, true understanding of our relationships with each other, to be global citizens. So yes, this is, I'm actually very heartened by this astrology, that this represents a huge initiation. And of course, it always depends on our choices. You know, we always have the choice to express it consciously or unconsciously. But I think we've reached the tipping point, and this would symbolize the readiness of collective consciousness to move forward into the Aquarian age. And we also have other things going on that we can't measure astrologically. You know, we're in a solar minimum now, the beginning of a solar minimum, which means there are fewer sunspots. And during that time, for the next couple of years, more cosmic rays penetrate the Earth's atmosphere. And so that affects the Earth's magnetic field, and it affects each one of our magnetic fields. So as the solar minimum deepens, we're going to be receiving more there's less filtering out of cosmic rays, so we can receive more energy from beyond the sun, you know, from other star systems that are always beaming. So there's an increased receptivity in that way as well, penetrating through down to our DNA, down into our cellular level. So we're clearing also ancestral things. I've been feeling very heavy and exhausted the last few months especially, and I realized recently, it's because I'm clearing out so much out of my body, you know, that this is a very deep process on all levels. I've been feeling I've been waiting about 300 pounds, just really feeling heavy. And I did an ayahuasca journey last week that helped me clear some of that out of my body, and I don't feel so dense. So there's an undensification, if that's a word, going on with this lineup in Capricorn, releasing ancestral patterns, generational patterns. And also, I think, you know, going back down to the several thousand years of patriarchy and beyond, the very beginnings of the original sin program and the program of separation. So yes, I think we're at a very pivotal point.
Yeah, thank you for confirming that. I know so many of us who are sensitive, and that includes most of the people on this call, so many people have been feeling like this decade is the tipping point, you know, that there's going to be this opportunity collectively for us to really see the global shadow, the patriarchal shadow, in a new way, in a very highlighted way, and you know, to be able to see it for what it is very clearly and say no to it and let it go and actively change. So is that kind of does that conform to what you're describing?
Yes, yes. Pluto represents the shadow, and in Capricorn, very much about the power of organizations, governments, institutions, rules, regulations, you know, those large-scale structures. Capricorn is all about structure on all levels. So on a personal level, it's the structure of the ego. On a collective level, it's the institutions that we have created and give our power to. So yes, bringing up, that's what we're seeing, you know, in spades for the last few years, is the shadow side of Capricorn, which is the misuse of power, the greed, the, you know, operating from fear and competition and so on, the misuse of resources, the rape of the earth and so on, all those things that are, that need to be transformed for our very survival on this planet. Yeah. So yes, Pluto's been in Capricorn since 2008. Saturn went into Capricorn at the end of 2017. Jupiter went into Capricorn at the end of last year. So there's been a ramping up of this energy. Jupiter helps us see the bigger picture, helps us, encourages us to be in integrity and to have an ethical, you know, awareness and use of the earth plane. Saturn, you know, kind of forces us to say, you know, it's the consequences, you know, it's the reaper. So we have to face the consequences of our choices. That's bringing up, you know, really clearly what we sow, we reap. You know, here's what we've chosen. Here's what's happening. Do we want to continue? Can we continue? And then Pluto brings up the shadow side of Capricorn, and it's been doing that since 2008. That was the beginning of the big banking crisis. You know, becoming aware of the misuse of power in that realm. So that's part of this transformation process. When we change how we deal with money, and that changes everything on the planet. We have to move to a triple bottom line, where it's not just about financial profit for stockholders, but considering the social costs, the environmental costs. You know, everyone concerned, not just a few. So yes, we're ready for big changes.
Big changes, and it does feel like that's coming. And, you know, one of the other things you said, Stephanie, that really interests me is about changing our relationship to the earth and to matter in general. So could you speak a little bit more about that? It feels so important to me that, you know, this new paradigm that's being birthed is so much about our relationship to the earth and honoring her and as Kathy says, you know, discovering art. So speak a little bit more about what you see there, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two points in astrology that are very, they pack a lot of information. They're called the lunar nodes. They have a 19-year cycle, and they are partly what determine eclipses. Every month we have a new and a full moon. Only every 6 months do we have a solar or lunar eclipse. And so they represent both collective and personal trajectories. The north node being what I like to call our spiritual frontier, and the south node being what we're releasing or transforming in some way. For the last year, the north node has been in Cancer, which is the most feminine sign in the zodiac, the sign of the mother, you know, on all levels, how we nourish ourselves and give nourishment to others, how we relate to our emotional body, how we determine what is healthy and what is toxic. So it has been inviting us to, you know, reclaim the power of the feminine, the necessity to honor the mother, you know, our Mother Earth and the mothering energy in each one of us. The south node has been in Capricorn, right? Releasing the shadow side of Capricorn, you know, like what we've been talking about, the misuse of power and resources, essentially. In May, those nodes shift. They're the one thing in astrology that move primarily retrograde, most of the time retrograde. And in May, they go into the previous polarity of Gemini Sagittarius, the north node going into Gemini, how we perceive things, how we think, how we communicate, how we connect the dots. And Sagittarius, the south node of Sagittarius, being the release of false beliefs, dogmatism, fanaticism, you know, things that we assume to be true that are not or no longer true, for sure. So that's a shift coming in May for all of us. If we know even just the birth date, you know, to calculate a chart, you need the birth time and place. But if you have just the birth date, you know your North and South node, and you can know a lot about your primary spiritual path by knowing those two signs, your North node being the qualities and experiences that will be moving you forward on your path, your evolutionary growth, the South node being what we came in with, what is most comfortable because it's familiar, been there, done that. But those can also be traps because those are things we want to release the downside of. Keep the good side. There's always the high road and the low road of every sign. So to release the patterns that are no longer serving us are encoded in the South node, and the North node would be what is going to help us move forward. And so for all of us, moving forward into the sign of Cancer, emotional intelligence, and discerning what is healthy, what is growthful, what is nourishing, and releasing what is toxic and unsustainable. Yeah. And then all the Capricorn, again, the four of the five outer planets being in earth signs really emphasizes we've got to pay attention to how we relate to the earth and the physical plane. Yeah, that it's really time to make the big changes in that relationship.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Also, you speak a lot about making the unconscious conscious, and really, to me, that's sort of the underpinning of everything we're talking about here, is that the more that we can walk that path of making the unconscious conscious, the more that we'll be able to do our part in creating this tipping point and helping to shift the paradigm.
Yeah, I forget who it was that said, transformation happens one heart at a time.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah, that's what it's about, huh? So, Stephanie, I'm aware that you need to go very soon to make your next call. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us? Any closing remarks?
Let me think. Well, for all of us, since the eclipses run in 19-year cycles, we could think back to 2001 for a reference point. What was important in our lives back then? What either needs to go to the next level or be released? Those are the essential, that's the power of an eclipse and a 19-year cycle. And then we can go back to the late 80s, early 90s. What was important to us back then? Because it's going to be showing up in the same part of our chart. It's a little different combination, but it's still in Capricorn. And so that will depend on your birth of time and your particular chart. But it's going to be highlighting the same themes, the same area. If it's in our first house, essentially, it's about a sense of how we relate to ourselves in the world initially. The second house, our resources, a sense of self-esteem. The third house, how we perceive and communicate information. The fourth house, home and family and our ancestral inheritance. The fifth house, how we create, how we express our creativity. The sixth being how we take care of our body and serve. The seventh being in the primary area of relationship. The eighth house being very much like Pluto's shadow and power issues. The ninth house being what we believe in, what we see as reality. The tenth house is very similar to the tenth sign of Capricorn, how we own our power and authority. The 11th house, very similar to the 11th sign of Aquarius, how we collaborate, you know, who our tribe is, how we envision and move toward a better future. And then the 12th house being spirituality and the dissolution of the ego. So we're all experiencing this triple conjunction somewhere personally in one of those areas, or sometimes two, we can straddle two of those areas. To keep the big picture in mind, I think, is really important. That's what astrology does for me. It keeps me remembering that we're all part of a much larger process and to not take things personally that are not personal. So to be able to, to keep doing our own work and to know that it makes a huge difference. Each time we make even a small shift, that widens the path for others to follow. So to know that we all have more power than we realize, and especially when we come together like this.
Beautiful. Thank you, Stephanie. It's interesting, you know, just to comment, we've got a couple more minutes here, but just to comment on what you said, 2001, obviously, that was the year of 9/11.
Yes.
And, you know, going back again, in roughly, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, it was, as you mentioned before, that was 1989 was the Berlin Wall coming down, the end of the Soviet Union. It was also the ending, roughly, let's see, 1990, 91 was the end of apartheid and Nelson Mandela's election here in South Africa. It was also the ending of the Brazilian dictatorship was the same time. So it was a massive worldwide change happening. So, and then again, a massive worldwide change happening in 2001. So very interesting that you bring that up, because if we're looking back personally, we could also look back collectively and just see what massive change there was. So are you saying that it's quite possible that we could have the similar kind of massive change of one kind or another globally?
I think so. Yeah, changing borders, changing governments, changing ideologies. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what it would suggest. Again, it's always up to us what we choose. But if you look back in history, you see these themes repeating, hopefully at different levels. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a fantastic cycle to bring to our attention. And so that let me just be clear with everybody. I think what you're saying is an exercise that we could all do to empower ourselves during this time of change, to take advantage of the extreme astrology, is to journal and meditate on what was happening for us at that time in those cycles, 2001 and then going back again another 19 or so years. And journaling about what we were feeling and thinking and the changes that were going on. Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
correct?
Yes. To look at the years, especially, like you said, 19 years earlier, and then 88 through 93 were quite extraordinary, because we had Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune going through Capricorn. So the same themes about responsibility, power, you know, relationship to the earth, institutions, who we give our power to, were being highlighted in slightly different ways because of the planets were different. But that sense of Capricorn, and anyone born during that time is now having a super duper Saturn return. So that, I'm not sure that's a millennial generation, but you know, that generation of people coming into, you know, 28, 29, 30, and then the double of that. If you're in your late 50s, you're getting your second Saturn return. And if you're lucky to live long enough for a third, you're also getting 100% of return. Yeah.
I'm in my second one. I'm turning 58 this year, so this is my
okay.
So I'm in that. And I also want to point something else out, that you're saying that the little window of 1988 to 1993 is an important window to look at. And 1988 was the year of Leslie's spiritual awakening.
Yes.
So, you know, I what I am aware of for all of us is that, you know, these are the years when we can take huge quantum leaps in our awakening process. You know,
I think
we can take full advantage of the astrology. A friend of mine likes to call it the ascension accelerator. You know, so we can use this time. We don't have to be messed around by it. We don't have to feel victimized by it. We can use this time to ascend in consciousness, to harness
absolutely.
The energy and use it to our benefit, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Making the unconscious conscious.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have had 10 years of nonstop Pluto transits, and I'm not the same person I was before that happened. It was not easy, but I'm so grateful for what I've been able to release, and so grateful for the inner peace and wholeness that I can experience now. So yes, it's worth it. It's not easy. This is not easy energy, but like you said, it accelerates our growth tremendously. We can drop, and Leslie's been saying this for years, we can drop a lot. We have a lot of grace available and a lot of support on many levels for this. So, yes, it's like, I think it was Vivekananda who said, the winds of God's grace are always blowing and we must raise our sails. So this is a time to catch those big winds blowing. And if we raise those sails, so if we do our work, we can take huge steps forward and humanity as well.
Could you say that quote one more time, please?
The winds of grace are always blowing. And we must raise our sails. I think that's, I might have a word or two off, but essentially, Vivekananda, I think, is the
beautiful.
The, the saint who said that. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Beautiful image. Well, it's a great note. Great note to end on. I don't want to keep you, and I know you've got your other call. Is there anything else that you wanted to say, though?
Oh, I'm sure as soon as I drop off, I'll think of a dozen things that I could stay a few more minutes. So, anything else that you would want to ask, or someone else would like to ask?
I'd love to share something, Brad, if that would be okay.
Yeah, go for it, Barbara. Please.
Yes, Stephanie, one of the things that you shared with us that really resonated with me, that I think might be quite a bit bigger than maybe we're realizing, you know, you're talking about making the unconscious conscious, and what you shared was, and please correct me if I didn't understand this right, but what I heard you saying was that this is the end of victim, tyrant, rebel, savior.
Yeah.
So I can see, and also the end of our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see, especially in conjunction with the 38 years or 30 plus years of Leslie's awakening, that there's a huge shift in consciousness that is set up to take place, and so that we're all being asked to take responsibility for this awakening that's happening, mm-hmm. and no longer fall into this victim, tyrant, rebel, martyr, savior complex. So I'm just, like you, I can feel the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity of this, and there are so many of us who have been, you know, studying and working for so long, who are so primed, if you will, to move into this huge shift. So I just really wanted to point that out because it feels monumental to me.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah, beautifully said. Thank you, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Thank you, Barbara. Beautiful. Is there anything more?
Barbara or someone else?
Oh, from my end? No, I'm just deep gratitude to you, Stephanie, for helping to guide us along the way. And, you know, I really wanted to say, too, that Stephanie so beautifully incorporates the teachings in with the astrology. And so I just am in such deep gratitude when you share with us on the new moon or the full moon. And I would highly, highly recommend any of you who have not followed Stephanie to please follow her. She just is so profound and with a wealth of information, Stephanie. You always give us someone to look at or something to listen to. It's just been such a blessing, and I deeply, deeply thank you for that.
Oh, I'm glad you find it helpful. Yeah, I wanted to mention that just before every new and full moon, I write a general astrology update, and I'm happy to send that out. Subscriptions help me do that. It takes several days for me to put those together with links that I find are helpful resources and the cycles and so on. But if money is an issue for anyone, I'm happy to do that gratis. So just send me an email. My email is very easy. It's Stephanie@EcoAstrology, EcoAstrology.com. Or if you Google my name, Stephanie Austin Astrology, you'll find my website. And if you can subscribe, that's wonderful. If you can't, just let me know and I'll put you on my mailing list. Okay. And I've done, every year I do a yearly forecast. If you want more of an in-depth overview, that's available for $25 or gratis also. So just, that's available on my website or email me if you'd like that. Okay.
Well, I highly recommend Stephanie's work. Her newsletter, her regular newsletter, is fantastic. So I highly recommend subscribing to that and go seek her out. She's pretty amazing. So thank you, Stephanie. Thank you so much for your time today.
My honor and pleasure. I'm sorry I can't stay longer, but I'll listen to the recording later.
Wonderful.
Okay. Well, happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Stephanie. Okay.
You
okay.
Too. Lots of love.
Lots of love to you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, so Barbara, before we move forward with the call, I just want to have a check-in about the sound quality. How's it going?
Unfortunately, it's not much better on your end, Brad. I think we're okay from our end. I've had some input from the web. No static when Stephanie speaks, but still static.
So no static when Stephanie spoke, but there's still static when I speak.
Yes, correct, and it's still happening right now.
Yeah.
So we're kind of struggling along with this. And actually, somebody wrote in and said that when you disconnected or when Tara disconnected, that it was even more static. We had no static interference before Brad made the connection change. It is quite severe now.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to see if they'd like to get back on. I mean, as long as it's bad quality.
Yeah,
let
them come back on, Brad, and
so
see. Because
try reconnecting, okay? And it seems like it's not making much of a difference whether you're on or off, so.
Okay, well, we're just going to give it a try. And fortunately, I'm not the one doing all the talking today.
Yeah.
So I apologize to everybody for that. It's very unusual. We'll look into it so it doesn't happen next month. I'm not sure why that's happening, but we'll give it some tests and have our tech person take a look at it so that it's fixed for next month. Yeah. So my apologies. I hope we can muddle through this month. So let's see, before we move forward, I just want to announce a couple of upcoming events that are very important. Our next guest speaker is Kathy Stanley, and she's going to be offering her course, Earth Shakti Rising, Journey to the Ecological Self. And it's a 7-session course that starts on February 1st through CoreLight. It's every Saturday for 7 sessions through March 14th. Highly, highly recommended. We'll talk with Kathy, and you'll learn more about the course and the importance of her work, which I can't wait for the course myself. So if you want to join that course, you've got a couple more weeks or so to sign up for it. And please, I encourage you, sign up for this course. It's going to be remarkable. And like I said, we'll hear from Kathy. You'll learn more about it today. Also, I wanted to mention we have our retreat in Greece called Awakening Your Inner Oracle, and that is October 14th through 25th. The early bird discount deadline was today, but we've extended it. We got an extension from the organizers in Greece, so now the early bird discount for Greece is extended to February 2nd. So if that trip is of interest to you, there are still spaces available, and you'll still get a significant discount, $500 discount, if you sign up by February 2nd. We've also added, if you didn't see the email, we sent out an email this week, and we'll send out another soon, but we've added a pre-retreat, October 6th through 14th, on the island of Koufonisia. It's a tiny little island, and it's like paradise. It's this idyllic little island in Greece that we're going to go and just rest for a week prior, relaxation, rest, and basically meditating and journaling and walking, swimming. So it's a very, very special retreat. And I invite you to meditate on it. Don't write it off just because it's too much time or too much money, but meditate on it and see if you have a divine appointment to join us. And I've seen miracles happen. If you feel you have a divine appointment, it's possible, you know, more than possible, that the money will manifest or the time will manifest or whatever you need. And I say ditto to this with our South Africa retreat coming up March 5th through 19th. There's still a couple of spaces available on that trip. So if you feel called and you'd like to join us in South Africa March 5th through 19th, check it out on our website. Both those retreats, all three of those retreats, are on our events page at corelight.org. Lastly, Barbara is offering her Squares processing call on January 26th, and that's for anybody who's in our courses, in the Spiritual Warrior or Enhanced Self-Discovery courses, or graduate.
And thank you, Barbara, again, for always offering those each month as a gift to the people in the courses. I know they're very, very powerful.
Thank you, Brett. You're so, so very welcome. And I love doing it and would love anyone who feels called to join in. And let me just say to you, Brett, also just shifting gears a little bit here on the static part, Christine wrote in and she said, when you talk looking away from your mic, there's no static. The force of your breath seems to be the issue, is what she's saying. So I don't know if that helps you. Maybe you're kind of on top of the mic, and maybe if you could back away. I don't know if that
will make okay, a difference. How's that? Is that better? Because I was holding the mic closer to my mouth, but I've just let it hang low now. So is that better?
Yeah, it does seem to not be as staticky.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Christine. There you go.
Yeah. Yay. Okay.
Okay, so now let me just see if Linda and Leslie can hear. Are you guys able to hear yet? Okay, they're still working with it. I'm really hoping they can hear this next conversation with Kathy because it feels very important to me. I know that Leslie especially would love to hear it. So before we open to Kathy, I want to finish giving just a little bit of a description of my experience of the last week or two. And I have the sense from the people that I've talked to that many people are feeling this. So I wanted to share my experience just in case it resonates with you. And this might be helpful that we all talk about it together. So some of it is completely in alignment with the astrology, probably all of it actually. But what I noticed was that there were a lot of victim-tyrant scenarios playing out, and it was a great challenge, but it was a great opportunity to move through it if we were able to witness. When I was working with people who really wanted to hold the heart and really wanted to get through the victim-tyrant process, we managed in the end to find our hearts and to come through in a beautiful space and having released a lot of shadow, and it even felt like it was magnified. It felt like it was a collective process. So I invite you to look at that for yourself. If you're finding yourself in victim-tyrant scenarios lately, really focus on it as a test, as an opportunity to let it go. And that means just remaining in the witness and watching it pass through and pulling out all the tools from our spiritual toolkit. All the processing techniques that Leslie has taught us over the years and that we've learned from other teachers too. Also, another polarity that's been up is praise and blame. So if you, if you've been pushed to your limits lately, look at praise and blame and see if that's hooking you anywhere. The desire for praise and the fear of blame. Miscommunications, as I said before, and reaction and anger. And kind of an intense pressure, like we're being ground down and we're being pushed to clear and to become whole. The extremes, extreme highs, extreme lows. As I said before, I think I said this before, but it's a heightened sensitivity. So, if you're an empath, which I imagine many people on this call consider themselves empaths, and if you don't, you might look at that because you probably are one, but a heightened sensitivity and a heightened sense of empathy, feeling protective of oneself and one's family, the ones who are close to you, and actually feeling defensive and kind of a combativeness. These are the kind of things that are coming out for many of us right now. Disagreements. Also, in terms of the physical body, there is many people I know are going through a healing crisis of some kind. It's a time where the body might be having issues and you find yourself in a healing crisis. Self-care. Many of the things Stephanie mentioned and so much of what I've been going through and I know other people are going through lately comes down to self-care. We're being asked to, and I know I've said this the last few months, so please forgive me if this is a reminder for you, if you've been paying attention the last few months, but self-care is critical. We have to focus on it. I think I said a couple of months ago, it's almost like we're in a long-distance race, and like a long-distance runner, we're being asked to make sure that we take care of ourselves so that we can keep going, and that's how we're going to be able to help other people, is to know where our boundaries are around our own self-care. It's like the oxygen mask syndrome. You know, you put yours on first before you put it on anybody else. So just keep that in mind. Laughter. Laughter is essential. The joy quotient, feeling the joy, even finding ways to feel the joy and find laughter even amidst the challenges. You know, as we know, there's so much to be depressed about. There's so much to feel grief about. And it's critical to feel those things, too. We're not talking about suppression or denial of feeling negativity or anything associated with grief, the soup of grief. But to find ways to laugh, find ways to feel joy, critical. Also, slowing down. It's been essential lately to, with part of the self-care, is to slow down. We're tempted so often to whiz through the day, ticking things off our to-do list, and the slowing down is part of the self-care. It might be something like just stopping and patting yourself on the back, or taking stock of something that you've accomplished, or giving yourself some positive thoughts. We tend to be so self-critical normally. So slowing down, looking at how you can take care of yourself, being patient with yourself and kind to yourself. Along with this is giving situations that we're in, these challenges that we're in, giving them the loving attention that they deserve. So as we experience the ending of the old cycle and the beginning of the new cycle, we're at a turning point. And not rushing through it, not rushing through to-do lists and trying to move too fast, but giving yourself the time you need to complete either projects or relationships, or whatever it is in your life that's ending, with the love and the care and the nurturing that is important in order to begin the new projects and the new relationships with that quality. So it's closing out with love and beginning with a sense of love and inspiration and creativity. So it includes our relationship with ourselves and with the earth. And I think that's part of what Kathy's going to be talking about today, with the earth-based practices and being in nature and that sort of thing. It's part of our self-care and part of our healing our relationship with the earth, changing our old relationship with the earth and starting a new one, changing the old way we used to care for ourselves or not care, and beginning a new way. So I could go on, but I think I'd like to open up now and start talking with Kathy. So I want to introduce Kathy. I mentioned before that Kathy is a long-time Core Lighter. She's a Core Light mentor and a Core Light minister. She's been a volunteer for many, many years, long-time student of Leslie's. And we're just so grateful to you, Kathy, to come and teach through Core Light. Sorry, I forgot to mention, I wanted to say, Kathy is an artist. She's a visionary artist. She is an educator. She's been a teacher of eco-psychology and women's spirituality for a very long time. She is a certified art of allowing facilitator, And anyway, I'm going to let her describe more of what she does. But Kathy, are you ready to speak? Are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. How are you?
Okay, great. Thank you, Brad. Yes, so this class that I'm so grateful that CoreLight is willing to host this class. It's called Earth Shakti Rising, Journey to the Ecological Self. And I call it Earth Shakti Rising in recognition that the Earth Shakti is rising within us. As we're working to come into balance with her and become an ecological society. So, you know, we're at this time of great turning, as Joanna Macy calls it, the great turning that we're in. We're turning towards becoming an ecological society. And obviously the astrology and everything that Stephanie spoke about is an indication of that. And so we have this sense of urgency about climate change and social unrest coming into sustainability. So this class that I'm offering is an adaptation of several eco-psychology classes that I've taught at Sophia University over the past several years. I did my master's in women's spirituality, and my thesis was creating a class in eco-psychology, and that class has evolved into several other classes. So I'm really excited about bringing it to CoreLight. And, you know, for too long, humanity, we have acted as if we are the most important species on the planet, on top of like this pyramid with every other species below us. And so eco-psychology and deep ecology, you know, from back in the 70s was saying, hey, you know, we are just one of many species on the planet. We are no more important than any other species. And so the term ecological self is, you know, recognizing that we are one of many species on the earth, and we need to be able to take that position of, you know, humility and really care for the earth and all the other species as well, without being in this position of being on top of a pyramid. So part of that, and part of what I'm hoping to bring across in this class, is that we come more into a whole brain approach. And we've been too dominated by left brain and polarized thinking. And so we can benefit from right brain processes in coming back into balance. And, you know, Leslie has been a big inspiration for me all these years. Way back when, I can't remember when, she recommended to us that we start doing process painting. And Leslie even taught us a few art classes. And that's when I really began my own art practice, which has evolved over the years. But so this class is going to have nature practices and art practices so that we can, you know, reconnect with the natural world and start to hear within ourselves what one of our eco-psychologists called the voice of the earth. Can we hear within ourselves the voice of the earth? And so I believe, you know, we all have a role to play, you know?
Say that again.
We all have a role to play in the turning of the culture. And how are we going to care for ourselves? How are we going to build resilience, how strengthen ourselves? Me personally, I have found doing these practices and studying and teaching eco-psychology over the last several years that the more I focused on developing and cultivating my inner relationship with the earth, the more I'm able to work on her behalf and retain, you know, a sense of joy and resilience and, you know, feel strengthened, even with what's happening.
Beautiful. Well, Kathy, you know, you mentioned Leslie teaching the art classes, and I remember those art classes. They were profound. They inspired many people, and I know how powerful Leslie always felt art was. And so I know she's very excited about your offering this course and picking that part up and carrying it forward. So thank you for that. I know you're planning several types of exercises and new things that we can all be doing. So would you like to tell us a little bit more about what are some of the other things that we're going to be doing in the class?
Yeah, so let me just say at the beginning that no art experience is necessary for what we're doing. So if anyone feels, oh, well,
good,
I haven't done any art, that's not an issue,
right,
here. Yeah, we're using, you know, art is not just for artists alone, you know. It's a portal for deeper understanding and connecting with our ecological selves. You know, art is a portal into, as well as nature, portals into a higher consciousness. So some of the things we'll be doing is we're going to create what I call an ecological identity journal. And there's several, I'm not going to go into the details of that, but it's a beautiful process. It's a beautiful reflective process. And I'm going to encourage everyone to choose one place in nature. It could be just your backyard. It could be a park that you go to. It has to be somewhere very accessible, somewhere that you're going to go and build relationship with each week. And then we're going to build a special type of earth altar, and it's not the typical altar, so I won't go into details of that, but there'll be that. We're going to do a beautiful deep ecology ritual called the Council of All Beings, where we're going to allow ourselves to be chosen by some other species or an element in nature like a mountain or a river, and we're going to have that, allow ourselves to speak on that species or element of nature's behalf. And we'll do that in a sacred ritual format, as well as doing some art with that. And we're going to create a Gaia painting, which is a fun thing to do. And then finally, we're going to do some visioning for the world we want to see, because obviously, right now, we're drowning in apocalyptic messages. And, you know, Gaia is on this descent cycle, which we need to honor and grieve for what's leaving. But, you know, this time calls us to strongly, collectively, as a community and individually, be in our witness state to simultaneously hold the positive visions that we want. And even though we don't know how it's all going to work out, this is the time for us to be the strong spiritual warriors for the planet and do ourselves, you know, do our part in strengthening ourselves, listening to soul. And art is a profound practice in listening to soul and being in nature, cultivating joy, and creating these positive visions for the future. So we will, those are some of the practices we'll do.
Beautiful, I can't wait. Sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, well, it also is important. I mean, I can feel the importance of these practices too.
Yeah, for myself and for the classes I have taught, I've had very wonderful feedback on these practices. Yeah. So I'm excited to do it together. Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited that you're offering it. And, you know, I was deeply moved when I read about your course, and, you know, just the fact that you're offering it, I felt such a resonance that, that this is exactly what we all need right now. So
yeah.
I can't wait to do it with you. So is there, what else, is there anything else you'd like to share, anything else you'd like us to know?
I would like to just close with a quote from Obi Kaufman. He's an artist. He's a writer of the California Field Atlas, which is a text I'm using in one of my classes. And Obi Kaufman said, and I quote, "More and more, when I present my work to the public, I find people who, with wild and yet exhausted eyes, ask me desperately what they can do to help the unraveling world they perceive as falling apart around them. I know this feeling well, and I am very sympathetic to it. My first response is to ask the person who asked when the last time they went camping was. The number one thing you can do, I know, incredible. The number one thing you can do, he says, is to help defend the intact wild spirit of nature, is to take care of yourself. So many people spend hours a day in their car and then spend the rest of the day staring at a computer. This is not how to engage in the movement. The movement needs you rested, grounded, and connected. Go outside. Go outside for a good long while. Take off your shoes. Feel the grass in your toes. Drink water. Breathe deep. Eat well. Do this every day, several times a day. The days of our existential alienation from nature will end soon enough. The post-carbon economy is on its way. Imagine that day is today. Take a moment to observe the bird, the flower, the passing cloud, and marvel that you are the eye of the living universe, perceiving the thing of the living universe. You yourself are the natural world," end quote. So I really love this quote from Obi Kaufman, because to me, it's just exactly what I feel is needed right now. We have to defend that intact wild spirit of nature. And so I'm hoping that this is what we cultivate in this Earth Shakti Rising class. Earth-based self-care, vision of this post-carbon world, and whole brain practices to live well with the earth. So that's it, you know. I would love to do this together, and I'm just so grateful, Brad and Leslie and Core Light community, that, you know, we're on this journey together.
Wow, Kathy, I'm so inspired, and all of us here in the living room, Tara, Linda, and Leslie, and I were all looking at each other with thumbs up going, yes, yes, yes. What we need. So you said something to me when we talked last. It was really interesting. You talked about the words that you use in the title of your course called, you call it the ecological self. And you said something to me that was interesting, because I wasn't really sure what that meant. I mean, I have a general idea of it, and I'm sure we'll learn about it in the course. But you said one of the ways that you look at the ecological self is you remember Leslie, when she would talk about her ability to communicate with animals, communicate with, we call it interspecies communication. And, you know, she's a master of that. And it was a gift that was given to Leslie upon her awakening. It wasn't something that she sought. But in 1988, after she had her enlightenment experience, she found that she could do that. She found that she knew what animals and plants and other things were saying to her, rocks. And so what you said to me that I found fascinating was that to you, that is an aspect of the ecological self. It's like when we're so connected with Earth and nature, we have that capacity to communicate deeply and clearly, and that is our ecological self. So I just love that. I thought I would highlight that. But is there anything else you'd like to share around that? Because to me, that's also very important.
Yeah, well, I think absolutely the interspecies communication is, you know, evidence of us rising, of this Earth Shakti rising within us, that we are, you know, like Leslie, able to, she was gifted it, other people come at it from different avenues, study how to do it, and to me, it is absolutely evidence of what's called the ecological self. And the ecological self was a term coined by a Norwegian philosopher, Arne Naess, back in the 1970s, because he was a deep ecologist, and he said that we need to come into this, we need to recognize ourselves not as these individuals, but as being in community with all of these other species, and that we should cultivate our ecological self. So some of the practices that deep ecologists started back in the 1970s was like this Council of All Beings, which is one of the things that we'll do, where we give ourselves over to allow a species to speak through us. So I've done it in my classes, and it's profound what has come through, you know, in the people who have taken my classes and done this Council of All Beings ritual. So yeah, it's, you know, to me, it's all evidence of this, of what I call Earth Shakti rising, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's beautiful. And, you know, I guess the other thing that I can mention here, as long as we're on this subject, which I find fascinating, is that many people on the call know our dear friend Anna Breitenbach, who's a
right.
South African woman, one of the greatest animal communicators or interspecies communicators in the world. The level
right.
of detail that she gets from specific animals and from the collective, the oversoul of animal species, the level of detail
right.
is extraordinary. Right. And it's all, there are things that can be verified that she couldn't possibly know. And there's been an amazing movie made about her that many of us have seen online. It's called
yeah.
The Animal Communicator. If you haven't seen it, just go to YouTube and Google The Animal Communicator, Anna Breitenbach. It's extraordinary. And there's an excerpt from it about Spirit, the black leopard, that has
right.
millions of hits. It's that extraordinary. If you haven't seen it or you haven't watched it in a while, I highly recommend it. But anyway, the point of what I'm saying is not that. The point is that Anna was not born with this gift of animal communication, nor did she have an awakening experience like Leslie and then was suddenly given the gift. What she started, she was like a computer programmer or something. She was doing something in the tech world in California, and she started taking weekend classes in tracking,
right.
tracking animals. And
right.
she said she had this, the instructors discovered, and she discovered that she had this extraordinary gift of being able to actually see, put her hand over the print, the paw print or the hoof print or whatever it was, and to the track, and to be able to see the animal and describe it. And because she was South African, she didn't have names for the animals, but like there's no coyote in South Africa, but she could describe it and they would say, yeah, that's a coyote. So she had these verifications, and she actually learned how to develop the skill. And
right.
and that's what she's been teaching for so many years. She teaches people because she quantified how to teach this stuff. And Leslie found it so fascinating because, you know, she could never teach it because she just was given it as a gift. And so
right.
we have these fun, you know, these amazing conversations with Anna about how, you know, you actually can learn it.
So I guess I want to point that out to everybody just because I feel like two things. One is that the exercises you're going to be having us do will enhance our capacity to be able to communicate with the natural world, not just animals, but with the earth and nature. And furthermore, what Leslie has always said to us, and this has been my own personal experience too, that is the more that we wake up, the more that we release our own limited egoic self and wake up to the greater self, the higher self that we are, the more we're able to do that. And I've actually talked with Anna. I've talked with Anna about this. She and I were planning a course for some time, hopefully in the next year or so. But what she says is that when people come to her to try to learn animal communication, they can only do it to the degree to which they've cleared their egos, to the degree to which they've made the unconscious conscious. And, you know, release their limited egoic patterning, which is the Core Light teachings. So we're excited about doing that, both things, helping people clear the ego as well as using the skills that she knows to help enhance our capacity to connect with the natural world. So I feel like your course is a fantastic step in that direction. And it's a very natural connection with the Core Light teachings. They dovetail beautifully.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kathy. I just want to, before we close out, I want to ask Barbara if she has anything she'd like to say, and I'd also like to give you one more chance for a closing remark. So Barbara, first, do you have anything that you'd like to ask Kathy or share?
Yes. First of all, thank you so much, Kathy. I'm excited, and I can feel that there are others who are also very excited for what you offer. You know, I was going to say something about the painting experience and my experience in it. I have no art experience whatsoever, and it was deeply, deeply profound to be able to have that as an avenue into the unconscious. And because we're short on time, I'm not going to get into that, my personal experience, but just to say that it is a doorway. The art is a doorway into the unconscious. So I'm so excited, Kathy, for all that you have to share in this regard. And the other piece that I wanted to share about, you know, the communication and our equality, that, you know, there's no species greater than or less than.
Right.
I saw something regarding the Australia fires today, and it is about the wombats in Australia.
Yes.
And it says reports from Australia that countless small animals have escaped death because wombats unusually opted to share their massive complex burrows. Even reports that they have been observed exhibiting, quote, shepherding behavior.
Yeah.
So I just have goosebumps on that, and that when
oh my
we
God.
Can no longer be in the, you know, better than, less than, but come into equality, that this is going to be our interspecies connection, including rocks and plants and all that exists on our exquisite Mother Earth.
All our brothers and sisters.
All our
plant
brothers
people,
and sisters.
Stone people.
Yes. So wonderful, Kathy. I can't wait. And I know that there are others who are feeling the excitement as well.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we do
Barbara.
Have a hand. Yeah, we do have a hand raised, just, Brad.
Okay, before we open the mic, I just want to be clear. And let's allow Kathy. I don't know what's going to be shared or asked when we open up the mic. So, Kathy, do you have any closing comments for us?
No, that is. I think I've said it all. Thank you,
okay.
Brad.
All right. So then I'd just like to close out on this piece by saying, if you're interested, if you'd like to join the course, go to the Core Light website, go to the events page, and on our events page, you'll see the course brochure, and you can easily click on it and see it. You can register online. It's quick and easy. So we hope to see you there on February 1st. Again, the first class is February 1st. It's 7 sessions on Saturday mornings, West Coast time. And there's more information online about it. Okay, so let's see. I think Barbara, we could now open up to sharing or questions.
Okay, great. So we have a person who has their hand raised. You're showing up as anonymous, so I'm not sure who
and
you are.
Wanna,
I'm gonna. Yeah.
Barbara, you want to just remind? Why don't you just remind people how to raise their hands just
yes.
in case they forgot?
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you, Brad. So if you'd like to share, it's *2 to raise your hand. And then we can call on you, unmute you and call on you. Okay, so this person, I'm unmuting you now. So go ahead and say hi. We'll find out who you are.
Hi, this is Connie Habash. Hi, Brad and Barbara and Leslie and Kathy
hi, Connie.
And everybody.
Hi, Connie.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just so inspired to hear about the ecology class because I'm an ecotherapist myself. And a couple things I wanted to share. One is that I feel that it's not just for self-care. I mean, that, of course, that's important to be out there in nature to care for ourselves, but to share that with others because it connects us to nature, as I think that quote was talking about. And when people are connected to nature, they'll care and they'll want to try to help heal the planet. When we're disconnected, which so many people right now are, they don't understand the importance of nurturing and caring for the planet. So I feel that that's important for us to consider, sharing it with other people, taking them outdoors with you. The other thing I wanted to say is that I've done a couple of the, what is the process from Joanna Macy that you were just talking about? Council
policy.
Of All Beings. Thank you. And with my daughter, with this organization called Gaia Girls, and she chose poison oak. Actually, it chose her to speak through her, and she immersed so deeply in it that it was like she was channeling it. And people came up to her afterwards and said, I never thought of poison oak in that way because in that tradition we call it guardian oak. And she was talking about how the poison oak protects all the other plants and animals and keeps humans from trampling spaces and encroaching on the environment. And everyone was so deeply moved. So I think the Council of All Beings is such an amazing process. So I just wanted to share that with you. And Barbara, thank you sharing about the wombats. I'm looking it up right now. But I'm really inspired by this and glad that Core Light is offering it.
Thank you, Connie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Barbara, thank you for sharing that about the wombats. It's so inspiring.
Isn't it? Just so
exquisitely
yeah, beautiful.
Deeply touching. Yeah.
And yes, and thank you, Connie. And synchronistically, I just went to the doctor because I had a rash on my arm that they diagnosed as poison oak.
Uh-huh.
So I'd love to talk more with you and your daughter about that.
that's
thank
great.
You, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Connie.
All right, Brad, so that was the only hand raised. Remember, star
well,
2 if you'd like to share or offer, and I'm just looking now on the web to see if there's anybody. Comment from Alana Woods, and she is saying, yes, art helps develop our sensitivity and intuition. She says, I am teaching a class on the secret of healing through the arts, which also includes music as well, improvisational playing. And she says also includes spontaneous drawing interpretation through Jungian perspective. In other words, making the unconscious conscious and mandalas. And I know how gifted and talented Alana is. So thank you, Alana. That sounds really
yes.
wonderful. So I think we're synchronistically hooking up here. Being divinely guided through our art
wonderful.
And through our connection with Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have a couple other hands raised. So,
okay, Barbara?
Yes, Brad.
I just want to say something before we open the mics up. I know we've only got 10 minutes left, and my guess is that there are going to be quite a few hands. And so I want to invite you to please say whatever you'd like to say, and please try to be as concise as you can be so that we can make sure we get all the hands in.
Yes, great. Thank you for that reminder, Brad. Okay, so the first hand is Jan. Jan Antonelli, you have the mic.
Thank you so much. It's almost hard to speak because I'm so full after this call, so I want to thank everybody. You're welcome. I just want to drop this in for people that might be having a hard time unplugging from their stories. Because in my practice, I've had so many deeply traumatized people, and the stories are so huge that I find myself even being challenged to unplug from their stories.
Yes.
And I got the message very clearly that it wasn't the story that was the pull. And the other day I saw two vortexes, very powerful vortexes coming down next to each other. One was 3D, one was 5D.
Mm.
And they're magnetized. And I could feel how easily you can get pulled one way or the other. And any hook into any story pulls us right into that 3D vortex.
Mm.
Wow.
So if that visual helps somebody, I want to just drop that in. And thank you so much.
No, that's great. Very helpful, Jan. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan, and we're really being asked to take responsibility for our thoughts, for our stories. So that was beautiful, Jan. That's really so helpful. Okay. So the next hand raised is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you have the mic.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say that I'm really, this is my first call with CoreLight, and I was feeling very curious about it, what it would be. And I'm just feeling so full of love and feeling gratitude for all the beautiful information that I've received and how it's confirmed my experiences the last couple of weeks. And I'm just feeling actually very joyful and excited because now I understand going forward what I'm dealing with.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing, Elizabeth. It's great to have you with us, and I'm so happy that it was helpful. It's amazing, isn't it, when we just knowing we're not alone, you know, just knowing that we're all part of this collective process, our thoughts are shared, our processes, our emotions, they're all shared. And so we get swept up in these things that we think are ours, and they're not necessarily ours. And so it helps so much to know this, that we're not alone, and we can then get back into a witness and say, no, this is not me. This is passing through me. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm really good at being separate. So it's also giving me tools to connect and know that nature is right there for me and you all, and there's just so much in the animals.
Yeah.
So it's just super, super great. I'm bowing to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth. As we bow to you, Elizabeth, we're so happy to have you on the call. And isn't it amazing? Yes, and isn't it amazing? The synchronicities, they're profound. And and just, if we're willing to stop and listen, it's just incredible. So thank you, Elizabeth. Happy to have you on the call. Okay, so we've got one more hand raised, and that's Linda Peters. Linda, you have the mic.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This will be really
short. Hey, Linda.
Hi. earlier this week, when I read Stephanie's forecast, the most recent one that she sent out, I thought I need to get in touch with Brad, and in case he hasn't seen this, he needs to see this. It might be time to have Stephanie back on one of the conference calls. Well,
there you go.
Follow through on it, but guess what? You got the message.
Well, you know, Linda, you know what they say. They say great minds think alike. So there you are.
I guess that was it. And then the other thing I wanted to share as far as confirmation is concerned, as we started the meditation this morning and you were talking about letting in the light, I'm sitting in my bedroom upstairs here with just a little bit of light from the lights overhead, but it was, the skies were all gray and it's been raining and it's cold and we're expecting snow. And as you were talking about letting in the light, I just felt this warmth, and I thought, all right, I can do that. I'm letting in the light. And I had to open my eyes because the sun came out. The sun came through the windows and just lit up the whole bedroom with light all the time. All that period of the meditations, I had sunshine coming through my window, and it was very beautiful. And this has been a very blessed call, even though it's been interrupted by a neighbor and some other stuff going on that distracted me for a while. I'm so glad to have been part of it, and thank you all.
Sweet. Well, thank you, Linda. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
And more validation for the synchronicities.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank Amazing. You, Linda. Amazing. Yes.
Sometimes I do get a glimpse of how powerful all of this stuff really is if I just allow it to occur in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. If we can just get out of our own way, huh?
Yep.
Beautiful. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Okay, Brad.
Is that it?
I believe so. No more hands raised. I'm just checking the...
Right.
Looks like one more comment. Lee, Dale was saying, what a coincidence. While reading with Living with Enlightenment, for the second time on page 288, was Tyrant Victim Rebel. I was prompted to do a square on Tyrant Rebel, which I completed last Wednesday. I have had a major positive shift due to that square.
Wonderful. Wow. Dale wrote to me personally about that. Thank you for sharing that, Dale. Yeah.
Wow, Dale. He's awesome.
Yeah. The victim, boy, it's up right now. You know, this ending of the patriarchy is bringing up victim, tyrant, rebel, and the fourth archetype is savior. And this is, as we were talking about with Stephanie on the call, you know, this is the ending of that major cycle of patriarchy. So we're going to be getting a really good look, a good opportunity to look at any place where we're still playing those archetypes out. Victim, tyrant, rebel, or savior. Those are the four archetypes that make up the power structure of the entire third dimension. And it's interesting because I was meditating on what I'm supposed to teach when I travel around mainly in the U.S., London and the U.S. this coming summer, Northern Hemisphere summer, and that's the subject. So we're going to be diving into releasing the victim tyrant mix at the workshops that I do. So be on the lookout any day, any week now. We're going to be sending out a hold the dates email, and hope to see you this summer in person when I'm traveling around. And if I'm not coming to your city and you'd like me to, let me know. If you're willing to do some organizing, I'm happy to show up. Looking forward to that very much. It's a powerful time for all of us to be processing those archetypes and releasing that old power structure of the third dimension, held in place by the victim consciousness. That's what it is. That's, if you could name one process on the earth that's holding all of us back, it's that one. It's the victim consciousness. And it's the key to so many things. It's the key to awakening the divine feminine within. It's the key to releasing the third dimension. It's the key to opening the heart. You know, all these things is letting go of the victim consciousness. And it's, you know, easier said than done, as we know, right? So I'm excited to be diving more into that. Leslie's taught it for years, and we have new techniques now and new ways of looking at it. And so it's a very ripe time to dive back into that material and take a look at it. So listen, I know we're out of time. I would like to end with at least a 1 or 2 minute prayer. And Barbara, before we close out and say our final prayer, would you like to say anything?
I'd just like to say thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure to be with everyone. And Brad, I know that I'm very much looking forward to spending some time with you as you come back to the U.S. I'm very excited about it. So thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Barbara. And thank you again so much for anchoring this call. You always do such an impeccable job. You're in the background, but without you, we couldn't do it. So thank you for holding space so beautifully.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. So I invite everybody, this will just be very quick because we're over time, but I invite you to just take 2 minutes with me here to close the circle today. And please close your eyes and take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths, spiritually cleansing breaths, breathing in the light, and breathing out any tension or shadow that might have been stirred up by our conversation. I don't know about you, but mostly I feel joy right now, so hopefully there's not a lot of shadow that got stirred up for you, but feel it now. Bring in the light and the joy, and breathe out any limitations, any negativity that you might be feeling. And continue your breathing and just letting go, relaxing into the Shakti transmission that Leslie's giving us. Feel this healing energy coming in as you breathe and relax, completely letting go and receiving. While we relax and receive the light, we call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the invisible beings who've surrounded us in so much love and support today. We offer our deep gratitude. Thank you for the opportunity to share our love and to receive light, to be guided into a new level of knowing who we truly are. And lastly, I'd like us all to please visualize all of us on this call holding hands in a circle. And even though you don't know everybody, you can just visualize the circle. Several dozen people around the world, including the people who are going to be listening to the call later on recording. And so just visualize all of us holding hands in a circle and sharing our hearts, sharing our love. Literally feel your heart sending your love down your right arm to the person to your right. See the love circulating around the circle. And then on your left side, in your left hand, feel yourself receiving the love from the person to your left. Feel the love that we share, the heart connection that we all share, even though we're physically distant from each other. It doesn't matter. There's no such thing as time and space. So give the love and receive the love to everyone on the call. And then reverse direction. Send your love the other way and receive the love from your right side, giving it out your left hand, receiving it on the right side. Just feel the love, circle of love that we're generating. you might find yourself getting a smile on your face, which tells you that you're actually feeling what's happening here. And feel the joy that comes from the love and the heart opening. It's beautiful. Feel the Shakti that Leslie's sending us to amp this up. Lastly, let's all visualize the earth in the center of our circle. We're big enough that we can surround her and still hold hands. And now let's send our love, let's beam our love from our hearts right into Mother Earth, filling her up with our love and our light. And let's especially focus on all the problem areas that we know about, the people and animals and nature in Australia affected by the fires, all the places in the world where there are fires, floods, earthquakes, war, famine, hunger, suffering of any kind, all the people who are suffering from ill health, all the animals who are suffering on the verge of extinction, the forests, the oceans that are polluted, all of these aspects of our ecological self, we send love. We send our love. We circle the earth with our love. And as we do this, we transform the consciousness in ourselves and in the collective. We add our love to it, raising the vibration in whatever degree we're able to. But this is what we can do, is we can give our love. This is how we will change the earth, is to awaken to our own true nature, which is love and connection with each other, with the earth, with animals, with nature, feeling our love and our connection, because we are all made of love. It's truly who we are. It's what the earth is made of. It's what we're made of. We are all made of love. So I invite you now to feel that. Fill your circle. Fill this circle that we're all part of. Fill the earth. Fill the room where you're sitting with this beautiful energy of love and light. And just beam it out as well as receive it. And I'll just be silent for a few moments while we relax into this beautiful state for another moment or two. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for participating today in our field of love. Thank you for your sharing. And look forward to connecting with you next month. But also before that, I look forward to connecting with those of you who feel called to the Earth Shakti Rising course on February 1st. I hope to see you there. Meanwhile, I send you all my love, as does Leslie and Tara Linda here in our living room. From South Africa. All our love and blessings to you. Bye for now.